Hello, this is Dave Spiker, reminding you that next Tuesday marks the end of the financial year for Insight for Living. To give a much-needed financial gift, go to insightworld.org. In the New Testament book of 1 John, we find a direct warning to those who follow Jesus Christ to be on the lookout for phonies. Apparently, the charlatan is not new to our generation. Deceptive men and women posing as spiritual leaders have preyed on unsuspecting followers for generations. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our study in 1 John. We're in chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. As Christians, it's our job to develop discernment and to call out false teaching. Originally delivered to the congregation in Frisco, Texas, Chuck Swindoll began with this personal illustration.
I'll tell you a quick story in my own life where love is a more excellent way. It was a real convicting thing. We were at that time living in Boston, and we had three or four preacher friends of mine that came for a visit. We were looking around downtown Boston together, and among us was a former professor from Dallas Seminary who had taught me Hebrew, a man named Bruce Waltke. And Dr. Waltke said, "Why don't we go over to the Christian Science Mother Church? I'd like to see that. I've never seen that before." I'd never seen it either, and so we went in, and when we walked in, there was a small crowd. They were giving tours of the place. It's a rather historic structure. And I noticed there was a special place saved for Mary Baker Eddy right down front, had her name on it, and made a comment about that. And then we'll walk down where the lady was sitting by this four-manual organ, and she was sort of giving lectures about the church and the teaching. She didn't know who we were, okay? So she got to the subject of life after death, and she was a little weak on that, and one of our men listening noticed that she skipped completely over the whole issue of judgment to come. And he said to her, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that we are to live, and once we have lived, we're to die, and once we die, we face the judge? He could have quoted it in Greek, but he gave it to her rather stumbling English so as not to come across like a preacher. when she heard that there would be judgment after, she said, "Would you like to see the second floor?" And my first thought was no. And so I didn't say anything for one of the few times in my life. And we're on our way up the stairs, and I said to Dr. Waltke on the way up, "Dr. Waltke, man, we had her. Why didn't you just nail her?" He said, "Well, Chuck, that wouldn't be love, would it?" Walked up the stairs. We were looking around. We were off by ourselves. I noticed a little later, Dr. Waltke was sitting at the table with a little lamp on it with a lady, and she's got her head on her hands listening as he's giving her the gospel. Love is a more excellent way, isn't it? Learn from the stupid things I've done and the silly things that you and I have both been involved in that have turned people off, that you always win with love. You always win with love. Now, love has its boundaries. And certainly, it must have truth, it must have discernment, or as Dr. Ryrie has put it, when it leaves its banks, it gets dangerous. So it must be kept within the limits of truth and discernment. Love is a more excellent way, however. Now for the second sermon of the day, turn to 2 John chapter, the second chapter of 1 John. And I want to read for you verses 18 through 27, second chapter of 1 John, beginning at verse 18. May we stand together out of respect for the Word of God, for the reading of the Scriptures. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. May our great God be honored in not only the giving of his word, but also in the reading, the preaching, and the living out of its truths.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Dealing with Deceivers.
For the next few minutes, I want you to think about a time in your life when you were deceived. For some of you, you will think back to a marital deception. The person you had dated and become engaged to and then married proved to be someone other than you thought she was or you thought he was. And the horror of living with that in the backwash of deception is almost more than you can bear to return to today. There is marital deception going on all the time. Maybe you have invested your funds in a particular individual who promised to handle them carefully and well, only to discover what hundreds of people here recently have discovered from an individual who deceived them, took advantage of them to the point of multiple billions of dollars, and today is behind bars appropriately and will be there till he dies appropriately. He took their money, and I always hesitate to use the word swindle, so he took advantage of them, took advantage of them financially. Deception. Is there anything worse than being taken advantage of? Whether it's a fake diamond you purchased, or it's a house that wasn't what the real estate person said it was, you feel deceived. In fact, you were deceived, and you're strung out. But I will tell you, personally, there is nothing worse than spiritual deception. Someone who has the audacity to lead another individual into error while at the same time quoting portions of the Bible, or taking their money and claiming that they're using it for the right causes, but they spend it for themselves or for some selfish purpose, deceiving the gullible public into believing what was said was true when in fact it was toxic. Promised healing and you didn't receive healing. Promised hope and you didn't get hope. You were left with the leftovers of a phony faith. you realize you were taken in by a cult or some error. How tragic is that? Paul had that on his heart when he wrote the Corinthians, who, along with being in a fast area of the world there in Corinth, they were also among the gullible. And along came these charlatans who had the ability and the eloquence to speak well and to win them over with their charisma. And even some who were living immorally. And the Corinthians thought this was a great expression of grace to applaud that. That's okay. Grace covers it all. And Paul writes them in his second letter, chapter 11, as a father would write a daughter, as a mother would write a son. Verse 2 of chapter 11, I am jealous for you. Normally, jealousy isn't a good thing. Here it's a good thing. I'm jealous for you, sweetheart, that when you stand at the altar, that you bring a pure body, never sexually experienced, but you bring a pure virginity before your groom and your God. Now, in this case, he uses the symbolism of that setting and applies it spiritually. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betrothed you to one husband. I'm the one who introduced you to the groom, the Lord Jesus. And my hope was that you would present to Christ when you stand before him the pure virginity of an untarnished faith. Verse 2 says, and then it leads into that contrast, but, oh, there are always those connectives that change the scene. But I'm afraid. You rarely read of Paul's being afraid of anything, but here's one good fear. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I love Paul. There are times I just want to throw my arms around him and thank him for saying it so clearly and well. The old serpent, when he slithered into the Garden of Eden, didn't come with a sign saying, I'm about to deceive you, Eve. Be aware, I'm bringing something that you're going to spend the rest of your life regretting. He came saying, you can be like God if you eat that fruit from that tree. She listened long enough to be lured into his syrupy offer and ate the fruit. She was deceived into sinning. Adam, oh my, Adam willfully sinned. Hey, let's eat along with you. Yeah, that's great. Okay, Adam. Eve was deceived. Adam, he knew what he was doing. He just willfully fell into it. I found this true today when I did a quick study. The first scene you have of Satan on this earth is in the Garden of Eden when he's with another individual, in this case, Adam and Eve. The last scene is in Revelation chapter 20, where we read of Satan as he is being thrown into the lake of fire, verse 10 of Revelation 20. And we read, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the fire, the lake of fire. Deception with Eve, deception at the end of time. Deception with this couple, deception with humanity at the end. It's a career of deception. And don't think for a moment that it isn't attractive deception, appealing. It makes you feel good to fall into the allurements of the enemy. He offers you so much, all of it phony, but he offers it so attractively. Now back to this word, I'm afraid that you will be led astray. See that word, those two words, led astray, comes from one Greek word. It's a hard word, phthiro. You start with an F and you say thyro, phthiro. Phthiro is a verb that means to cause deterioration of the inner life, to cause deterioration of the inner life. Hence, it came to mean ruin and later to corrupt someone with erroneous teaching, misleading tactics. I'm afraid that as the enemy tempted Eve and she fell, that you're deteriorating in your inner life, and you're falling into the trap of so many, approving of everything. Verse 4, for example. 4, see that connective? It explains the previous verse. It says, in effect, in other words, or for example, if one comes and preaches another Jesus. By the way, this if is a first-class condition in the Greek text. It means if and they will, if and they have. If we'll assume it's true. There are other kinds of conditions, but this one says if, and let's assume it's true, because there were some praying on the church at Corinth, and they come preaching another Jesus. Sounds just like Jesus. Looks just like Jesus. Has a message that is so close to the message of Jesus. But it's a Jesus we never preach. Or, he gives a second, you receive a different spirit. This is heteros, another of a different kind of spirit. Not the kind that you received when I gave you the gospel. In fact, it's a different gospel altogether, which you have accepted, and you bear this beautifully. You would say, that's such a great thing. How great it is that we have these multiple messages of a multiple way of looking at life. It's called pluralism. Any God will do just so long as you're sincere. Any way will work just so you feel good about it. It's a lie. It'll lead you into error. They were willing to listen and accept the eloquent or even entertaining preacher of an adulterated gospel that added human merit to divine grace. Not only they, but it's going on to this very day. When we move ahead to 1 John, we jump ahead 40-some years. Not only has nothing changed, if anything, it's gotten worse. By the time John is living toward the end of the century, the church has become corrupted. Believe it or not, it didn't even take a full century for the church to begin to drift into deception. John writes of it, and he pulls no punches. You got to love John. I think it's part of being 95 years old. I think it's part of being discerning. By this time, the man decides, I have nothing to lose, in simply declaring the truth as it is. And so he calls a liar a liar. He calls wrong, wrong. He calls error, error. He calls truth, truth. So you don't have to wonder what this is all about. Beginning at verse 18. Children, it's the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, referring to a literal individual who will one day come and rule with all the persuasive ability of the most wonderful kind of individual, promising you hope and promising Israel and Palestine will sign up together in peace, not only in the Middle East, but around the whole world. This individual is coming, and John makes it clear he is coming. Even now, there are many antichrists. Let's put a little A with that one. There are many who come as counterfeits. There are many who look like Christ or have a message that allegedly comes from Christ, but they're counterfeit. Sometimes antichrist simply means they oppose Christ. Now, while we analyze this passage, let's begin by exposing heresy. Let's just expose it for what it is. And by the way, deceivers hate exposure. They love to operate under the radar, under the guise of something new and different, something scintillating, attractive. I mean, it's up to date. This old stuff is first century. I can offer you something from the 21st. And it's all about you. You'll feel so good about yourself. For the longest time, I had a little red devil that sat on the shelf in my study. Some of you have seen it. It isn't the devil. It's a caricature, but it looks like what we think of the devil. Eyes are sort of drawn out. Nose is turned up. Pitchfork, tail, red. He's a little wooden creature. My sister gave it to me, by the way. And, no, don't go there. That's, And when you pushed it down, a little sign came up that said, go to hell. But I decided to paint over it, put welcome. I got kids playing in my library, you know, I don't. So, welcome. But what he's really saying is, come on to hell with me. Come on. But he never is that bold. He never says that out loud. Oh, are you kidding? Cult leaders telling you they want to take you to hell with them? Never. They'll tell you this is so good. Look at what you've been missing. There are many antichrists. So the first thing we would say about deceivers, and by the way, this is about the difference between deceivers and genuine believers, okay? We need to understand the difference between deceivers and genuine believers. First, deceivers. You notice in verse 18, there are many of them. There isn't just one or two, there are many of them. They come in all cultures, they come in all languages, they come in all colors, they come in all kinds of garb and in all settings, some with a pulpit, some without a pulpit. Some on popular television stages, some behind the scenes working with small groups. Some come and they're known halfway around the world, others are not that well known. There are many of them that come in all different guises, all different garments. Second, many of them were once in the church. See the verse? Verse 19, they went out from us. It'd be amazing to find how many cult leaders were once a part of an evangelical church, a church where the Bible was taught, and they're reacting against it. They're rebelling against it. They went out from us. So the second thing, they were once in a church. Or maybe it was the church leading them astray and they've got another message that sounds good. Sounds even better than the false church they were part of. Whatever, they were once in a church. They were once of us. Third, they never really trusted in Christ alone. See how the verse reads in 19? They went out from us, but they really were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have remained with us. A person individually must know Christ personally.
We're looking at 1 John chapter 2, and the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll is Dealing with Deceivers. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment, so please stay with us. You're listening to Insight for Living. And to learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. John doesn't water down his message. He's fully intent on getting Christians to understand the critical importance of confronting our sin. It seems counterintuitive to be addressing this subject when the whole world is focused on the deadly coronavirus. But that's precisely the point. Sin is a deadly disease, and nothing is more important than discovering the cure. Every day at Insight for Living, we're at work behind the scenes to develop practical resources to help you walk in the light. And as we venture into the study of 1 John, I'd like to direct your attention to a helpful resource written by our teacher. I'm referring to the Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament Commentary on 1, 2, and 3 John, as well as the book of Jude. This book would make a tremendous complement to our study as we walk through 1 John together this summer. And you can purchase a hardbound copy right now by going to insight.org/offer. Or call us if you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. Chuck?
Thank you, Dave. Many of us have relished the serendipities afforded by self-quarantine. The volume on our noisy lives has been silenced. It's forced us to be still. Families are exercising crazy habits like sitting at the table for an unhurried mealtime, and then actually lingering and chatting with one another after the meal is over. Even the jigsaw puzzle, normally saved for vacation times and maybe holidays, has made a comeback in many households, drawing families together for leisurely conversations. And while cars are parked in garages, rather than commuting bumper to bumper on highways, radio listening has actually gone up, not down. Commuters are finding new ways to hear Insight for Living through our mobile app, the daily podcast, and on our website. As a result, I felt the warmth of your presence, as though we are actually sitting together in the same room. During this pandemic, you've sent us letters and left comments on social media. You prayed for Cynthia and me and for Insight for Living Ministries. Many of you have given financially so we can continue the work God has called us to do. You've read about our field pastors in faraway lands. When I think of all those significant things, it's like we've actually been together. Isn't that amazing? Here's the paradox. God is using these days of isolation to actually draw us together under the banner of His purpose and His mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ around the entire world. And for that reason, I come to you with boldness, and I invite you to join us in obeying His great commission. June 30 is the crucial deadline. On that day, we close the books on another year of ministry. In doing so, I'm appealing to you as a part of our partnership, our togetherness, and our shared vision to share the contagious, unstoppable love of the Lord. The global pandemic will not thwart His relentless pursuit of those who desperately need a touch of His grace. So please, please give generously to this end. And remember, you are not alone. And on this pandemic journey, we're going together. Remember that. We're in this journey together.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And to respond to the need, many have found the process very simple when using the Insight for Living mobile app. Just tap on the heart icon and follow the simple directions. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial this number, 1-800-772-8888. To give a donation online, go to insight.org. And finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church, where Chuck Swindoll is senior pastor, every Sunday morning. For all the details on streaming the video, go to insight.org/Sundays. Join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll presents more wisdom on dealing with deceivers, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Dealing with Deceivers, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.